You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And do you remember the first time they made you read Shakespeare in school? The long speeches, the impenetrable language in 16th century British.
Here's a skull that hath lain you in the earth 23 years.
Whose was it?
A whoresome mad fellow it was.
Why is that guy pacing around talking to a skull? What does the skull represent? I don't know. It's a skull. It's death, I guess. When's lunch? Anyway, maybe you slogged through and memorized the speeches they made you memorize and then, as quickly as you could, forgot them. Or maybe you had one teacher in high school who held the secret keys to Shakespeare, one of the people who got it, the conflict, the fear, the doubt, the politics, somebody who let you in on the R-rated body jokes. If you were one of those people, then you were ready for the moment when Hollywood started to make Shakespeare cool.
For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips, and holy palmers too?
I, a pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Yes, they put Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes in Romeo and Juliet. They made it the teen heartthrob story it was meant to be. Then there was Shakespeare in Love.
Son, it's not my fault. Most of Shakespeare could do it yesterday.
Do me a speech. Do me a line.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Another little problem.
What do we do now?
The show must, you know.
Go on.
Audiences went in droves to see that. They also went to see Hamlet's coolest practitioner, Kenneth Branagh. He put 4 hours of Hamlet on the big screen in a great big way.
To be or not to be.
Now, Hollywood's obsession opened Shakespeare up to a whole new generation of kids, and that's all over now. Hollywood has moved on. But the kids and Shakespeare, they're still going strong. Carly Webster is a senior at James M. Bennett High School on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and she joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Carly, when was the first time, if you remember, that you realized that maybe Shakespeare was more than, you know, a guy pacing around the stage with a skull making boring speeches?
At the beginning of this year with Taming of the Shrew, that definitely made me think a little deeper than I've ever had to with Shakespeare before. It was a little more challenging than the other ones, I personally feel, to understand exactly the character's motives, especially Kate's, you know, because she's such a bizarre character in that time frame. And not only that, but I'm sure even, you know, in today's modern time, she would have been perceived as someone very bizarre and, you know, out of place. And it was definitely hard to grasp exactly what was going on in her head. And there's many different interpretations that you could come up with.
Now let's talk about who's played Shakespeare. Carly, have you had the chance to act at all or get involved in the theater?
I do plenty of acting. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, none with Shakespeare as of yet, but I have been in the drama club of James M. Bennett ever since I was a freshman. And as of my junior year up until now, I am currently the president of the drama club here.
Oh, president of the drama club means you do plenty of acting, as you said.
Yes.
And still, watching Shakespeare plays has to inform a lot how you think about staging and directing.
Oh, yeah. Being able to use one scene for multiple purposes is very smart. And oftentimes, if it's done well, as Brown Box Theater has always done it, it's very effective, too, and easy to understand exactly what's going on.
Carly, what happened when you told your grandma that you had started to take an interest in Shakespeare and what the Brown Box Theater was doing?
When I told my grandmother, she was ecstatic. she pulled out her, I believe it was a copy of The Comedy of Errors. Judi Dench performed in it, and that was a riot. I loved it, and it really showed me the aspect of Shakespeare that wasn't tragedy, that I hadn't really had experience with up until that point. And, you know, it was really, it's a stretch of the believable that you could see, like something in modern times, but because it's that stretch, it makes it that much better and that much more entertaining because it's not so normal. And something along the lines of comedy like that was really a game changer, and it really it expanded, you know, what I knew about Shakespeare and my interest in it.
When I was in school, we studied a lot of Shakespeare, of course. I had a couple of great teachers that really turned me on to it. And then there was this phenomenon where Shakespeare became really, really popular in pop culture. Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes did Romeo and Juliet. And then from there, just movie after movie, it was one of the best fads that ever came out of Hollywood. Did you guys catch some of those movies and with your friends?
Of course, I've heard about the Leonardo DiCaprio, Romeo and Juliet. I didn't see it. I have seen Romeo and Juliet, a different version. I believe it's a little bit older. That and Comedy of Errors are all I've ever seen on screen, unfortunately.
Carly Webster is a senior at James M. Bennett High School on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Carly, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem.
Well, it's been 400 years since Shakespeare left this mortal coil, but his work and his influence are as strong as ever. Today, we're paying tribute to the Bard by asking you to share your favorite lines from his plays and favorite movie adaptations of the work. From Grays Lake, Illinois, I like the movie 10 Things I Hate About You. That's supposed to be an adaptation of The Taming of the Shrew. And Concord, California likes Hamlet, talking about his mother, Gertrude. Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Hi, my name is Amy, and I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky. My favorite adaptation of Shakespeare is Shakespeare Behind Bars at Luther Luckett Correctional Facility in LaGrange, Kentucky. Watching these grown men, many who don't have a high school education, memorize and perform Shakespeare verbatim is absolutely amazing.
From Concord, North Carolina, double, double, toil and trouble, because my four-year-old says it, bubble, bubble, toil and twubble.
Hi, this is Sue from Hillsborough, New Jersey. My favorite quote is from Shakespeare's Richard II. This happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in the silver sea, this blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England.
And from Millbrook, Alabama, more Hamlet. Though this be madness, yet there is method in it. 8778-MY-TAKE is our number. You can comment at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.